I saw a zombie takeout, rising from the earth, from my speakers itself, in one blue MP3.
Hello and welcome to episode 481 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
And hello, I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've been watching Obi-Wan, I'm sure many of you have as well.
Of course.
And last week, in episode 3, we had the rematch between Vader and Obi-Wan. And it got me thinking about the third installment in New Hope. Obi-Wan's sacrifice didn't make any sense. Obi-Wan sacrificing himself in that fight didn't make any sense. It didn't help them escape. It made it even harder for them.
Because Luke screamed and started shooting. That. Yeah, Luke kind of blew it. The doorway kind of closed off so Vader couldn't get them, though.
Right. But if Obi-Wan had survived that, you know, done some kind of heroic thing of holding back Vader and getting onto the Falcon at the last minute so they could get out... Imagine if he had said, you know, at the Yavin base over the comms, turn off your Nava computer. Where other people could have heard him tell Luke to do that. Imagine the chaos that would have caused. And then have him sacrifice himself on Hoth, holding back Vader. And tell him.
Oh, wow.
And then he says, go to Dagobah in his last breath. Would have been much better. You still would have had Death of the Mentor, just a little later.
Yeah.
Given him a chance to become more of a mentor.
Right, Luke would have had more training.
It just didn't make sense to have him sacrifice himself there. Never occurred to me until I saw the rematch, because, you know, in spoilers for episode 3 of Obi-Wan, Vader kind of kicks his ass.
Yeah. Well, Obi-Wan got really rusty.
Yeah. Spares him because plot. You know, Obi-Wan has to survive to New Hope, so, and he has to rescue Leia.
There was a lot of chaos in there, in the middle of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, creating a field of fire didn't really help this cause of keeping track of him.
No. And after recording, we'll discuss the whole trench coat thing.
It's pretty funny stuff, though.
Yeah.
No, nobody in the Imperial Army has a beard.
That's true.
Or long hair.
Whether or not it's long is questionable.
It's but kind of scruffy, yeah.
Imperials don't have beards. I never thought about that.
No.
It's a military thing, I guess. But
yeah.
Anyway, on to this week's movie, which is from 2006, A Scanner Darkly, continuing our Keanu Reeves trilogy. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by the War on Drugs, creating addicts since 1971.
Also brought to you by a farm upstate. It's where you send your pets, your burnt out agents, dirt, all of your living things. All right, so we have the dystopian future of 1994. You know, I never really thought of the war on drugs beginning in 71.
I had to Google it, but yeah, that's when the term was coined.
Oh, you know, because I think the first time I ever remember hearing it was H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
Sometime during his term.
Okay, I thought it was a little earlier than that, but apparently the term was coined in 71.
Yeah, it would be surprised that Nixon had done some stuff like this to start, you know, the ball rolling. I guess I thought Dick had predicted it in this movie, or this story from 77.
Oh, but, okay, no.
But we have, if it had been going for 6 years... this is, of course, the war on drugs. I guess 23 years later, we pretty much lost.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, it did not turn out well for us. I think, what did they say, like 20% of the nation was addicted to something?
Yeah.
Which is, I think the weird part about this is knowing how most of it's prescription-related and pharmaceutical now, with that knowledge now. It was kind of weird that they went there with this, but, you know, oh well. So
It's kind of funny. It's almost like, if you try to control human behavior with an iron fist, it will completely backfire on you.
right. Just tell someone not to do something if you want them to do that thing. All right, so we have an agent, a narcotics agent who's has sampled the product a little bit too much.
Tale as old as time.
He seemed to have had a normal life and everything, and then just kind of snapped. And I don't know if he went into this before or after that, into law enforcement. Before or after that snap, that wasn't entirely clear.
I kind of got the impression he already was in law enforcement, and due to be it's the old stories, the DEA guy who, the undercover DEA agent who, gets a little hooked on the stuff.
Right. And so instead of his family, now he has these weirdo drug users in with him. One of them has been trying to frame him for some sort of terrorist activity, not realizing that he's reporting to the person, to the people that he's going to be, he's trying to rat out himself.
It was nice to see RDJ not playing Tony Stark for a change.
Pretty much, I think it was very similar to like the characters he'd play in the 80s, like the comedies of the 80s. Like I was thinking Back to School, he was the roommate,
Oh, yeah, but I'm
the
so
art
used to him
student.
as Stark that it's like, wow, he does other things.
Right. Dude, think about it. Back to School is 20 years before this. That's going to be 40 soon. So there are people, of course, get paranoid, but in the end, all the they're not really paranoid because all of the stuff was true. There's, of course, a huge swerve that nobody saw coming at the very end. I swear, I had Star Trek The Motion Picture flashbacks of like. I it's her. It's her. It's her.
I wasn't quite there yet until like a little bit before it was revealed.
It's Voyager, damn it. It's just missing two letters.
I knew it was someone in the house, but
Oh yeah. And there was only one person not there in
that's
several
true. That's true.
seats. And they literally were when they came back, they were like they put cameras everywhere and everything, and which sounds crazy, of course. And it turns out the person that was not there did put cameras in when they were gone.
Much like last week, it's kind of a stupid movie, but I enjoyed it.
And let's see, I think plot-wise, that's pretty much all we can
Yeah.
do, right? Like. There's paranoia, they're trying to figure out who's doing what, and
They bust one of the housemates and then, yeah.
there's so yeah, there's one plot point, of course, and I think it's the only reason why they rotoscoped this entire thing was because of the suit,
The scramble suit.
the scramble suit to hide your identity from everyone, so nobody knew they so you would even wind up being undercover against yourself.
Keanu's character Fred, as the cops know him, and his boss Hank wear these suits that change your appearance every second or so to somebody else.
Sometimes multiple people at the same time. Nobody knows who you are, and of course nobody knows the boss doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know who the boss is. It could be anybody, and hilarity ensues.
The animation made the bugs and the jittering at the beginning even more effective. I thought one of their associates, Freck, one of the addicts associates, starts bugging out at the beginning, like
Yeah.
imagining bugs crawling on him and jittering. And I liked the effect that the animation had on that because it moves kind of out of sync with the live action footage.
Right. I would say that and the scramble suit were the only benefits of rotoscoping this. But by 10 minutes in, I was like, this just isn't working.
I liked it. It just gave it a weird vibe. It reminded me of Forbidden Zone.
It needed something though, because the story just isn't there, you know? I mean, they had a good story, but they needed to do some gimmick to try to make this interesting. That, along with all the weird sound effects that were kind of like Reefer Madness up. The wheel.
I think maybe that's where I was leaning into Forbidden Zone. You went to Reefer Madness.
Yes.
I kind of liked the voice change with the scramble suit. You get, you know, when you're in seeing inside the suit to Keanu, you get his voice on the outside. You get a different actor.
Right.
That was interesting. And the diner scene, I think, with RDJ was when I broke from the Stark thing. Because you're right, he does play that comedic role that he played in a lot of 80s stuff.
He had it in a really long time.
Yeah.
Like, before or after. I think that one of the interesting things about this is who he casted in this movie.
Yeah.
Linkletter. You know, they're all known for addictions, except for, I think, Keanu.
Oh, that's true.
But like, you know, Winona Ryder,
yeah, RDJ, Harrelson, yeah.
Like, I think, in fact, you know, I meant to look up, you know, if this was like his first film back, because remember he disappeared,
right?
You know, he
RDJ, you know, had
he had to straighten up after a lot of things just went south for him.
Yeah, people forget about that.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, this was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can see he's been... No, he was back a few years before this.
Okay. Yes, I want to say Chaplin was like one of his first films back.
Oh, that was a long time ago. That was like early 90s.
Okay, that was before he went away. Huh. But back to the movie. I liked the fast forwarding after the diner scene.
Yeah, you know, the diner scene was pretty damn useless, actually, though, wasn't it? I mean,
it just kind of introduced RGJ's character.
It did. I'm not sure if we needed to actually have him introduced. I think it would have been better if he was a little bit more of a mystery, instead of just, you know, crazy crackpot. But of course, he wasn't crazy because everything he was talking about was pretty much true, except for the stuff he was trying to frame Keanu and Donna for it with.
But there was just a lot of random weirdness. The fast forwarding, the whole thing with the bike.
Oh yeah,
was just insane.
That was pretty unnecessary too.
To me, it wasn't a matter of unnecessary. I enjoy random weirdness, especially in a movie that is inherently weird. I expected paint by numbers, you know, undercover cop drama. So spending so much time with the addicts and kind of doing this comedic thing was really interesting to me.
Is that really what the message of the movie is about, though? You know, that and rotoscoping. The real problem with the rotoscoping is that it dehumanizes the subjects. And I don't think that's really what they were, what at least what Dick was going for in the story, at least. And just having the comedic stuff, you know, I don't know. I've hung out enough with other people like this where it was kind of like really, man?
But a half hour in, I was already suspicious of New Path. It's this this rehab program that, it, you know, gets people off of this incredibly addictive drug, Substance D.
But as soon as they said that they were the sponsor, it was kind of like I see what's going on here. I pretty much had this movie figured out within the first maybe 20 minutes. 15, 20 minutes.
I don't even bother trying to figure them out anymore. It's much more enjoyable if I just go for the ride.
But it was, you know, I kind of couldn't help it, though. You know, they were like light-handed with the hints, the foreshadowing and what was going on.
It was pretty obvious Hank was going to be one of the roommates.
Yeah.
I didn't quite place it as who it was until right before the reveal, because then they made it extremely obvious because they were about to reveal it, but it was obvious it was one of the roommates.
Well, like Woody Harrelson even had the line of like, I'd like to meet a female narc and stuff, you know. It was like, you know, they really laid it on thick.
RDJ's character is named Barris. I couldn't help imagining if he was played by Chuck Barris.
No, that would have been awesome. And who knows? I mean, this A lot of this is autobiographical, or the short story was autobiographical from, actually, was it short? I think it was a full novel. It was Dick's, experiences. But from what I even saw with the notes I was looking at of the novel, and I think it would have been more interesting. Fred doesn't even know he's Bob in the book.
Oh, okay.
In the movie, I don't know if I really got that. In fact, no, I think he was aware because there were like reactions where it was like, you've got cameras set up there. But in the book, all of that stuff the physicians were telling him, which I really didn't believe for a second, because I thought they were just trying to usher him over to New Hope or New Hope, a new path.
Well, yeah, New Path was that was basically the premise is that they completely use this undercover agent to get him hooked to send him to this rehab program that which is what they're really investigating.
Right. So all that stuff they were talking to him, which I thought I didn't really believe, I thought it was just a con, was actually actually happens to him in the book, where his the two sides of his brain are pretty much separated, and he doesn't understand what one side is doing or the other. So he doesn't realize when they've set up cameras in his house that it's his house. When he sees him, he doesn't recognize that that's himself on camera in the book. Which I'm like, wow, if only they could have done that here.
I'm kind of glad they didn't because I know a bit about split brain and it doesn't work that way. It's not like a dissociative thing. I didn't recognize Winona Ryder until about halfway through.
Well, I mean,
I didn't
watching
see her.
Stranger Things, so
Well, I didn't. Yeah, that's true. I just watched Stranger Things, 20, almost 20 years after this. She looks a lot bit different. So, I just didn't notice her until about halfway through. I was not okay with Barris and Luckman, Harrelson's character turning into bugs. And the
Oh, yeah,
radio.
that's right. That was a
Yeah,
hallucination
it
of
was one of
software. Yeah.
Fred Bob's hallucinations. And the radio talking about how Freck tried to kill himself was disturbing as hell, as was the creature from between dimensions.
So yeah, that was strange because I mean it was funny. The whole like narrative of his, thing and the creature of dimensions. So I'm sort of thinking, is this supposed to be funny though? Are we supposed to be like, man, this guy is so gone from all this and just had enough and he's ready to go. But on the other hand, there, this narration about him buying the type of wine and stuff.
To me, that was all played for comedic. And yeah, you could
Yeah.
make the case that it shouldn't have been. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. I did like the monologue that explained the title.
Oh yeah, the about the scanner.
Yeah. I gotta say, it's probably the best acting I've seen from Keanu.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising. There's this trilogy has been full of surprises.
We expected to absolutely hate all of this and have no revelations about Keanu, but it's been pretty surprising.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like this movie, but I can't say it was because of Keanu. Completely not at fault
I
for
buy
any
him
of
a lot
this.
more in this role than I certainly did in Point Break.
That's true. It's hard to tell which one handles the whole undercover situation and how the realism of that. I would actually say this would be more, because it's futuristic and maybe they would. I'm not sure the point of where nobody knows the identity of the person, how that would really help. But if they
I
decided
think
that's the way to go, then who knows?
that was just Dick create. Incidentally, the movie's based on a novel by Philip K. Dick. If we didn't mention that, I think that was just him having an idea for a cool piece of technology and writing it into something,
And I'm kind
and
of
kind
wondering
of
if it,
crowbarring it into a story.
I'm kind of wondering if it's, a little bit of Dick's fault for the story, in this way, because he's kind of, is he the OG M. Night Shyamalan? Because I mean, the whole like
Little bit.
forcing the huge twist,
Yeah.
Blade Runner is one thing, but this was kind of like
Right.
a.
And also, you mentioned it was written in 77. We had a somewhat different view of addiction in 77.
Yeah, and like I said, these are at least this in the novel, he took real experiences. I'm not sure how much of the novel they actually took in this. But now that I've seen the movie, I should go and read the novel.
I did enjoy Arthur's breakdown while he was talking to Hank after he'd been caught.
Oh yeah, I wasn't sure if it was going to actually come through in the scramble suit.
By the way, they catch Barris because they know that he doctored some audio that of Bob. As someone who has been editing audio for 15 years, with enough source audio, you can make someone say literally anything.
Well, they didn't just catch him because of that. They caught him because he faked a conversation between two people and played it for those two
Well, yeah,
people.
that too.
It was just all like, yeah, that didn't happen. We're gonna hold you. Wait, what?
But it was a nice twist that Bob was just completely being used through all of this.
Yeah, that I you didn't really expect that at the end, that he was unaware of the goal.
And it was just heartbreaking to see what he was turned into.
But of course, he still has something there. I mean, it is a hopeful ending in the end because they plant the doctors were planting thoughts into his head. The whole thing about give her some blue flowers
Okay.
was code for look for the blue flowers, and that was something that stuck with him in that session. And of course, I knew as soon as he was up at the farm, he was going to finally see the blue flowers. And he's bringing those back to his friends, who, of course, are going to be his fellow agents that he'll see.
Okay. I actually preferred it when I didn't put that together completely, because to me there wasn't really a resolution.
Yeah, that is the resolution. He's kind of onto them, and he's playing dumb, or playing the husk of a man that they call him.
Oh, so you think that was an act?
I think some of it is. I mean, I'm sure he's not all there, but there's enough of him there to remember what he's there for.
Or
And that's to put
maybe,
these away, them away.
yeah, or it was just like subliminally planted. See, I bought that. I never for a second thought it was an act.
That's true. That's true. It could just be a subliminal thing that he, been programmed to do, and he's just doing what he's programmed for.
Which to me is much more impactful than it's an act. Incidentally, it was rotoscoped using a program called a Rotoshop. I just need to call that out because, as someone who's been playing with Photoshop for like 20 years, that pun is just kind of.
And I'm old school. I remember print shop.
No sequels or remakes, of course.
I wouldn't mind seeing a remake of this just done straight up, Like, can you think of anybody doing a classical work or something just rotoscoped like this and like all gimmicky and not just, relying on the story?
And I think the technology could do justice to the scramble suits now too.
Definitely. I even think in 06 they could have after, it's what, 3 years after Revenge of the Sith? I mean, I
Yeah,
think they
okay.
totally could have Industrial Light and Magicked
Right.
that. So yeah, I don't think making it a cartoon was really necessary, and if it's something you're really looking for impact for, which doesn't seem like they were doing that here. It seemed like they were trying to lighten it up a lot to make it kind of goofy at the same time as subversive.
See, I enjoyed that about it. I like it that it was on one hand really bizarre and goofy, but on the other also really dark. I like that contrast. Speaking of underbrains,
On the brains.
I loved it. I'm going five.
You talked me up a bit. I'm gonna go too.
Okay. Two?
Yeah.
All right. And what have we learned?
Well, we learned that everybody really wants that D.
Wow.
I think we would have had a better slang for it. I think it would have been like sub D or something like that. Not just D or death.
And I learned the cats are drippy. And that's D as in Domino. And that's it for Scanner Darkly. Until next time, we'll be reviewing The Watcher. Apparently, the movie's not great, but people say it's like one of Keanu's best performances. I'm curious.
If you told me before this trilogy began that I was going to enjoy Point Break better than a Philip K. Dick adaptation, I would have thought you're crazy. And that I didn't like the Philip K. Dick one, not because of Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. If you had told me that I would have almost recommended Point Break, I would have been... I would have
believed you. I came close too. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.